Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Get it? The Bird Show.
This is just a little bit of the news piece that Fox 5 did on this kid, Stephen Stafford. 13 years old. Been at Morehouse College for 2 years now.
At 13 years old, Stephen Stafford is an accomplished pianist. He's also in his second year at Morehouse College.
How many majors?
Three.
Which are?
Biology, computer science, and mathematics.
Now, he's going to tell you here in a couple of seconds, not only did he go to Morehouse at 11.
Wow.
He's tutoring college students.
I think that's hilarious.
I want you to be in the mindset of a college student that you've hired a tutor, you don't know who it is, and you walk in the room and there's 11, 12-year-old kid, and you're like,
and you're 20. Where's
your mom? Is your mom helping me out today? And Steven says, no, I got you covered here.
You know, there's some guy standing in the in the library like 4 feet away from Steven with his backpack on waiting for his tutor. And Steven's like, hi, are you Carl? We're doing trigonometry, advanced in calculus. Have a seat. And he's like,
looking for
Ashton Kutcher.
My ego wouldn't let me do it. I had friends that come by and go, no, it's just my little cousin hanging out with me at Morehouse today.
So, right.
Steven and his mom, Michelle, are on the phone with us right now. Hey, guys.
Hey.
How are you this morning?
We're good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, Stephen, when in school did you realize that, you know what, the work that I'm doing, you know, like as a 10-year-old, is just way too boring for me. I need something more challenging.
I think I realized that when I was nine.
Nine years old.
I didn't really know that I was advanced either. My mother had tried putting me back in fourth grade with kids my age, and it was too easy.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Too easy.
And then I realized, hey, wait, I shouldn't be here. And I asked her, could she, like, homeschool me again, and she did. Mm-hmm. And now I'm happy, and 2 years later, I'm at Morehouse.
Wow. So let's go back even further than that. Like at 2 or 3 years old, were you doing math problems way ahead of yourself?
My sister was showing me addition and subtraction.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got bored, and being the bossy sister she was, she was like, let's play school. And since she was in kindergarten, she was teaching me the stuff that she was learning.
Mm-hmm.
And that turned out to be addition and subtraction.
So at 2 and 3 years old, what kind of addition and subtraction are we talking about doing?
Like just the basics, like 3 plus 3 and 2 plus 2. And then eventually like 3 plus 5. Anything I could count on my fingers
mm-hmm.
was what I was adding.
What is 3 plus 5?
Where's your sister now? Like, what level is she at?
She is a freshman in college.
Okay, so she's in college now, too. But she was in high school when you started Morehouse.
Yes.
Wow.
So you guys are doing the same college stuff together now?
My math is ahead of her, but her literature is ahead of mine.
Okay.
That's amazing.
And if I was your sister, I'd never let you forget that. Well, my literature's ahead.
Or I'd be like, I taught you how to do addition. That's why you're at Morehouse.
What school did your sister go to? I'm sorry.
She goes to Georgia Southern.
Okay. All right.
So who encouraged you to make the move from elementary school to Morehouse? I mean, was that a teacher? Was that your mom?
It was accidental. For me, anyway, I was just doing what my mother told me to. And then when she couldn't teach me anymore, she said, okay, I have to go somewhere. And she found out college was the next step.
Wow.
And we went to college, and I started doing well in the classes.
Not only did you start doing well in the classes, did I read correctly that you were, like, first in your class the very first year you were there at, like, 11 years old?
Yes.
Wow. When you first got to Morehouse, how did the Morehouse men treat you?
At first, they were like, this kid, is he a teacher's son? I'm sitting in my class. Did they bring your kid to work day or something like that? And then, let's see. After that, when I started answering questions and tutoring them, they figured out, oh, he's a student here.
Yeah, once it gets to the point where they can get something from you, like you're smarter than them and that you can help them pass, they're like, all right, this kid ain't so bad.
I read yesterday, and tell me if this is the truth here, Stephen, that sort of this weird phenomenon happened on campus at Morehouse when other students realized he was legit. Mm-hmm. They've become really protective of him. Oh, like, they don't curse in front of him. They treat him with utmost respect, cool. And they've sort of embraced you, right?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
That's cool.
Isn't that really cool?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was speaking with Dr. Erin Wyatt. She was the one that kind of turned me on to Steven. And, mm-hmm. and she was real protective over him. She was like, yeah, you got to go through the proper channels. We're real protective, not over just Steven, but all of our students. Mm-hmm. And I went to Clark over there. I went to the AU. And it's like a bunch of mamas and grandmothers and grandfathers over there. You know, they're
exactly.
real. Exactly. Right, Steven?
Yes.
It's like your grandma and your granddad over there, right?
Grandmother or second grandfather.
Right.
Is your mom on the phone with us also?
She's right here.
Okay, I'd love to talk to her for a second also.
Okay.
Because that's got to be a tough decision for a parent to make. Like, when you see your kid is so advanced, but socially you still want him hanging out with kids his own age. So how do you balance that all out?
Yeah, you're right. That is definitely an issue. Well, he has cousins in Hiram, Georgia, that he goes to visit. He would spend, you know, weekends or whole weeks when he's on breaks. And then he has a lot of friends that he plays online with. He does that PS3 thing, you know, 13-year-old right. age or sometimes older. But you're right. I mean, the whole thing about this experiment, because initially that's what it was, I wanted to make sure that the whole person, you know, or Stephen was developed, you know, not just the intellectual. And I know that a lot of kids in this situation, because of course I'm met with other parents who have kids who started college as early as Stephen has. They've also stressed, you know, you want to make sure that the emotional needs are not neglected, his social needs are not neglected as well, but you want to keep up with the intellectual development. So, yeah, it's been interesting. It's been a very interesting ride for me and my husband.
So I'm assuming that he doesn't live on campus. I'm assuming you have to drop him off.
No. So
you drop him off at Morehouse every day, and then you pick him up later in the day.
I'm going to tell you, when this first happened, I was like in tears. I cried about the whole thing, really, because I had mixed feelings. I didn't know what to do in the situation, but I knew that I couldn't, you know, I couldn't teach him any longer. So when my father actually said, well, you know, you're in Atlanta, call Morehouse. And then this guy, this division chair there who develops talent, very young talent, invited us to come on. I said, look, this is just going to be an experiment. I will follow him to class or take him to his class. And, you know, I would wait there until it was over, and then I would bring him home. So, yeah, he was definitely a community student. In fact, he still is a community student. We just met with the dean of admissions about this whole thing, and he's of the frame of mind that, no, he does not need to be on campus because we had heard of another prodigy at Howard who was 12, I think, started out and was on campus. And so that we felt that that was not the way
Maybe you could find a nice fraternity, and those guys would just take care of it.
Oh, my God, please do not mention that.
13-year-old fraternity.
And that, which is funny.
And that's what I was going to say, because, you know, like I said, I went to Clark over there, and the fraternities and the sororities over there, you can't stay away from them. I mean, you may have a step show just drop out the air in the middle of day somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I guess he has been affronted, but no thanks.
I want to ask you, Michelle, this is Carl. I want to ask you. I want to ask you as far as, like, what was your threshold? Like, we were talking about my 8-year-old earlier this morning. I feed her and I keep feeding her, but I don't want to discourage her, but I want to keep that encouraging. What was that? Where did you find that threshold not to overwhelm Stephen with all this info?
You know what? Good question. The thing was, it was really easy, Carl, because I wanted to make learning fun for him. And so I did a whole lot of creative things at home. You know, I mean, I introduced some DVDs and some computer software programs, things that I knew that, you know, he liked that would make education palatable for him. But then we did get to a point, I will admit, he was about 9, I want to say. And then I could tell when I hit the brick wall with him because, it was hard for him to, I guess, digest some information, and I knew to back off. I mean, you really got to be in tune to where they are. And when they start to look frustrated about, you know, concepts, then you got to taper off a bit and then, you know, just, you know, backtrack and go back to some really easy stuff. And then, you know, just kind of feel your way along after that. But, yeah, just, you know, keep it. I just kept it fun. I kept it interesting. I wanted education to be something that he wanted to continue to do it well past K through 12. And as it turns out, that's exactly what's happening, you know. But, yeah, you got to be careful. You got to really, like I said, be in tune to your child and where they are academically.
Michelle, you called Stephen a prodigy. Are there people outside of Atlanta who are wanting to learn about him, probe him, find out about his DNA? Like, how does his gene pool come together?
Here's the thing. Actually, we don't. The family thing, we don't like. He doesn't like the word prodigy, and we don't either, because we know that a lot of work went into where Stephen is. And I understand, you know, we're dealing with the public, and, you know, I guess when you look at the denotative meaning of the word prodigy, I guess it fits him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing is, well, okay, answering your question, yeah, there have been other people who wants to work with him. In fact, he's working with a prominent mathematician right now. It was really nice how he approached us. He teaches at Clark.
Goodwill Hunting.
And so he stretches Stephen's mind beyond even what's offered at Morehouse. So that's a great thing, you know. But the whole DNA thing, no. It's just more or less, okay,
not
what
yet.
Did you all do in the right. home? You know, that kind of stuff.
If he came to you tomorrow and he said, Mom, I'm done with Morehouse and I want to go back to my school and I think I want to, I just want to, I want to be in waste management. What would you say?
She's laughing.
You know what? That's the answer. And I would say, sweetie, you know what? Own the business. I mean, really.
Yes.
You know? Even with all of this, what has happened, my husband and I want Stephen to be happy. And that's what he has told us. He said, Mom, because he's done the school thing. And the thing is, classroom it may not be for everybody. And for him, it wasn't. And that's okay, too, you know? But the thing is, we want him to be well-adjusted and happy, and he's told us, you know, Mom, I love my life. So when your kid is telling you that, you know, hey, you kind of feel good and know that you're doing something right anyway, sure. Because it was a very scary journey for us.
Is he in the sports? Does he play any sports, or has he played sports?
Yeah, he has. He's done soccer and basketball. Of course, he's kind of too little for basketball. And something, I forgot the other thing he did. Oh, he's in mixed martial arts now with his dad.
Okay.
He's kind of liking that, yeah.
Well, it's really nice to
talk
to you.
Can outsmart you and be trash.
Yeah, right? I'd like to talk to Stephen one last time before we say goodbye to you guys. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you.
You asked me about leaving Morehouse. The only places he's going is like graduate school at Harvard or Yale or something like that.
Right. What's next?
Over in Europe, Rhodes Scholar.
Hey, Stephen?
Yes?
Isn't there some like weird law in Georgia that you can't graduate high school until you're like 16 years old? So technically, you're going to be graduating college and high school like right around the same time?
Yes, that's exactly true.
So at 16, he can't graduate high school, so he's going to get his diploma in both high school and college at the very same time.
Have you already taken the SATs?
Yes.
And what'd you score? Do you mind sharing?
I'm not good at testing. I don't test well.
Oh, good. What'd you get?
I am not sure. That was a while ago.
Yeah, that was the past.
I'm sort of embarrassed that I got a 1450 on it or whatever.
I don't like talking to you because you have a child's voice, but you sound like an adult. Weirds me out. Like you're more polite and well-spoken than most grown-ups that I know, and it's bothering me.
So what does the future hold? Like, what are you going to be when you grow up?
I'm going to be an OBGYN with a specialty in infertility.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Excellent.
Whoa.
Unreal. Big dreams.
Do you want to go into radio, maybe?
Maybe.
That's so beneath you. Don't even think about it, man. Go into waste management instead.
Hey, Steve, have you heard of the strip over there at the AU?
Oh, we had.
Have you heard of the strip? Good thing. Stay away from it. Stay away from the strip.
Hey, Steven, it's really good talking to you, man. Congratulations. And, boy, we're going to keep an eye on you, man. And I'm sure you're going to be whatever you want.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Congratulations, hon.
Good job, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
13 years old at Morehouse.
Beauty pie. Awesome. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
You know, I didn't get to a question that a bunch of you guys were calling up, and maybe we'll have them on again. I wanted to know what the mother's educational background was, because I know people are pretty critical of homeschooling. Obviously, in this case,
it
works pretty well.
But you can't be critical of this one. Yeah.
This one's worked out pretty well.
You're on The Burt Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Listen, it's The Bert Show.
All right, let's get back to Olivia here. We've been talking to her for about 2 weeks now, and she's got an obstacle this weekend. She's juggling two different dudes.
Yes,
living with two different dudes. Mm-hmm. So that's like the next step. That's a serious step.
And this weekend is Valentine's Day.
Right.
So I'm sure both men and both men do have plans, and she's got to juggle that.
And Jeff, what did she say last time that made us think that maybe one of these guys was going to propose this weekend?
Well, the dude, Kennesaw dude. Because that's what we call him, right? Just Midtown and Kennesaw?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So Kennesaw dude was supposed to get Sunday night, and Midtown dude was supposed to have Saturday night.
Right.
Right? But
right.
then, Kennesaw dude snuck in with a surprise and said, hey, I'm going to get us a limo to pick you up on Saturday. And I think our theory is that if Kennesaw dude's not real, he's kind of broke. And so I think the theory is that if he's going to spend the money on a limo rental, then he's making it not just a special night, but an extra special night. And so somebody thought there might be a ring involved at the end of that limo ride.
Maybe there's a CZ somewhere in that limo.
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, Olivia, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, I'm pretty good.
Okay.
I'm still a little nervous about this weekend, although I solved the limo problem.
Okay.
Thanks to the weather. Because the snow that we have coming in, Kennesaw guy and I had a little conversation about how, you know, we don't know how the driver will do in the weather, and I could get stuck there and not be able to go to my mother's house, and that it was better just not to plan anything driving that night.
When? Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night. Oh, so it will have already snowed.
Snow and ice on the ground, though.
Yeah,
but it'll be 41 and sunny tomorrow.
Melissa.
Yeah,
it's 41. It's 41 and sunny
tomorrow. Dangerous.
The snow's gonna be gone.
It's gonna be dangerous. Why are you trying to thwart love?
Because he's living with love ears and not logic ears.
That's true.
So anything she says,
you know what happens?
Dead on.
When it's
and everybody freaks out here.
There's two inches of snow on the ground. It goes up to 41. Right. That ice, that snow turns to pure ice.
I can't believe
with daggers.
New
with
York
razor,
dude
with,
is actually doing this.
I'm trying to help her.
Criticize the snow earlier.
I'm trying to help her.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'm having a tough time following along here. So,
well, anyway, he has already canceled the limo because of the snow.
Ooh, that was a close one.
But that still doesn't avoid what might be a wedding proposal this weekend. I mean, if it's a limo or not, he's still maybe popping the question to you.
You guys planted that seed in my head, and, you know, I have not ruled that out. It does seem like a possibility. And the other night when we were on the phone, he asked me this random question, like, where would you want to go for your honeymoon?
And you said, you mean if I get married to the Midtown guy?
No, no. That's not what I said. Very funny. I was like, oh no, oh my gosh. And I said Hawaii. But that got me thinking that he might be planning it, you know, he might really be planning a surprise for this weekend. And Midtown guy has also been acting really excited. And so now I'm going to be spending Saturday night with Midtown guy. And I'm worried that he is going to pop some trip on us, you know, 'cause he has money to do it. And I'm just afraid that there's going to be something that's going to happen that's going to keep me from getting to Kennesaw guy on Sunday.
Oh, no.
Or something.
He's going to be like, baby, we're going to the airport right now.
I know we're laughing about it, but aren't you exhausted? I mean, you're exhausted, like making up lies and then having to cover for your lies and then the possibility of this happening on Saturday night and then Sunday. Isn't it tiring?
It is. It's stressful. It's you know, I enjoy it, but it's totally getting stressful.
So what are you leaning one way or the other? You leaning towards Midtown Guy? Like, if Midtown Guy Saturday night says, I've booked this trip, baby, I already bought you a new bathing suit, we're on the way, like, your bags are packed, we're going to Hawaii, do you just throw your hands up?
No, she told the other guy Hawaii. Like, Midtown Guy's got more money. She wants him to take her to Tahiti.
Oh, right. They're going to Bali.
Right.
Right. Whatever it is, I mean, do you throw your hands up and say, okay, Midtown Guy is it?
I mean, I think I'm just going to have to wait until I'm in the moment. Mm-hmm. Because right now, I'm really not leaning one way or the other. I'm leaning just towards trying to balance and trying to stay in both relationships as long as possible. Or until something presents itself to really make one better than the other.
So
that could present itself this weekend. Who knows?
So each one of them, you told us, has already said that I love you to you.
And she says it back.
And you say it back. But do you really think that you're in love with both of these guys?
I love both guys. I really do.
Who are you more in love with?
That's crap.
Oh, that's hard.
Her boyfriends are like her children. She has a different love for each one. She doesn't love one more than the other.
She's not
in love. She's
loves. Because when you're, when you're dating two different people, like, at some point somebody wins, right? At some point somebody...
Or both lose.
I think that's more, I mean, because, I mean, it's not just you're dating two guys. She's living with two men.
It's stepped up.
And you are getting off on the attention, off the espionage. You feel like you're pulling on both of them, you know? And so, I don't think that you really, truly love either one of them.
Just for the record, this is guy behavior. Like this, if
it wouldn't even be accepted if it was guy.
It wouldn't be accepted, but it would be like, oh, I can't believe he's doing that. You're crazy. You're gonna get busted. Like we'd be talking about how he's gonna get busted and how they're gonna catch him and how he's gonna screw up. And
the tone would be different.
I have to be careful, but just because she's a girl and she's doing this to two guys, like she said, almost said like she's excited by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of the last conversation. So now it's like, what are you doing? I can't believe you're doing that. So it's a completely different. But, like, why aren't we focusing on the fact that she could get busted easily?
And the fact that we get emails and we get calls from women that say, you know, go ahead, get yours, girl, get yours.
Yeah, I don't know.
If it's the other way around, guys don't ever call up and go get yours, boy.
No, we've said every...
Go get both of them.
We've said every single time that she's cheating on both these men. We've said it every single time, and we've acknowledged every single time that what she's doing is wrong. And I don't think she won't get caught.
They both think that they're in an exclusive relationship. If she were honest and just dating both of them, whatever.
And both of them, their mindset is... I'm probably going to be with this woman for the rest of my life.
Right.
If you're moving in with somebody, that's pretty serious stuff. That's the middle layer there. There's only one place to go after that.
She's a tweener stage.
She's using both these men. Yeah,
she's dating as
Once
a verb
again,
for her.
I mean, I don't come on your show to for you to accept what I'm doing.
Right.
I don't expect you to accept what I'm doing. I don't expect you to think it's right. You dragged me on here in the first place.
It's true.
It has been fun radio theater, but
I'm just grateful for any advice you guys have to give me because there aren't very many people that I can talk to about this.
Well, pick one. That's your advice. Pick what guy you want.
Or
that's what we've been saying.
Or if Midtown Guy takes you on a trip on Saturday night, just blame it on the snow on Sunday for Kennesaw Dude because it'll be up to almost 50 degrees on Sunday, and that'll be a good excuse.
Here's Jana. Hey, Jana. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Freeze.
Good morning.
Hey.
I love you guys. I listen to you every morning for a whole hour on the way to work.
Thank you.
But I am just extremely ticked off. You know, there are so many women out there that are great women and have trouble finding guys. And here she is over here with two of them. And it just ticks me off because she's gonna get busted eventually. And then one of them is going to be heartbroken, and the next girl, I feel sorry for the next girl, because he's going to have such a hard time trusting women after this. And it just really, really ticks me off to hear that she's doing this.
Olivia, have you spent any time thinking about that? Because this can't end well. I mean, one of these guys is going to get really, really hurt, or both of them are going to get really, really hurt. And if you quote-unquote love them, have you spent any time thinking about the hurt that you're going to inflict once it ends badly?
I have. That has crossed my mind, yes. And it worries me because I don't want to hurt them. And so, I'm going to do everything I can to end one or both relationships without them knowing that they were being deceived.
Hey, Cece, you're on Q100. Good morning.
Hey, question. I came in on the middle of it, but I heard majority of the key parts. So how long has she been dating both of these guys?
Did you hear that, Olivia?
Yeah, 4 months.
4 months. Oh, my God. Come on. I'm gay, okay? So, listen, I have dated, I'm at the time, in the beginning of 2010, January, I've been dating 7 different guys. And I've been in a relationship with them for pretty much a little bit, longer than 4 months. But, hey, you got to do what you got to do. Have fun. Enjoy it. And, I mean, you can't determine on which one you love more because, like, one of you guys said that, you know, it's like a child. You can't, it's two different, you know, two different loves or, you know, you can't, you love one or the other. So do what you got to do. I mean, it's kind of surprising to hear that a woman is dating two guys, just like you guys said. It's bad for a guy to do it, but
hold on one second. This one's different.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, you talk about dating 7 guys, but she's living with both these guys.
And did these guys know about each other? Cece?
Well, actually, no. I take that back. They actually do because what
it's
I did,
different.
I took them all to a test, and I actually invited them all out.
That's different.
This is all my friends.
I got no beef at all with this. If she told both guys what was going on, and they decided, okay, you know what, I love you so much that I'm willing to risk this and take a chance on it. There's no call here.
Right.
I think you should tell them that for Valentine's weekend. I think you should invite them all to the same dinner. Both guys.
Who's that, Olivia?
Olivia and both guys.
Right.
And Kennesaw and Midtown.
There's a major difference here, though. They have no idea, and they're both living with a woman that they think they're going to be with for the rest of their lives. It's totally different.
At least Kennesaw. I'm not sure if Midtown feels that way, but Kennesaw definitely.
All right,
for sure.
That's true.
Olivia, we will talk to you on Monday morning, hopefully from Atlanta, but who knows where you'll be if this dude decides to fly you out of town.
Wish me luck, you guys.
No,
yeah.
Good luck.
I mean, just blame it on the snow. That's right. Blame it on the snow.
It's going to be here all weekend.
We'll talk to you on Monday, okay?
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
This is The Burt Show.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, the only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
This is The Burt Show.
I don't think any of us can remember the details about Mr. Tile. We just know that it's a really romantic story.
Yeah, I mean, it's just about Mr. Dial and a woman that he was in love with when he was a teenager. And then, for you know, we'll learn here as it, from his own words, how they were separated and then lost touch. And then they lived their lives. And then it was just this really serendipitous, you know, course of events that allowed them to come back together.
And what was he, like in his mid-late 70s?
Something like that, yes.
Okay, so this is the true story, the true love story of Mr. Dial.
The story starts in wartime years when everybody had to be employed in a war production plant, and we were. I worked for the Fulton Silphon Company in Knoxville. We were making aircraft instruments for the war effort, and we were hiring people to come in and do the work that had no previous experience. I was appointed as the training instructor for my department, and the day I got appointed, the first person that walked in was Miss Vanita Anderson. She was the prettiest woman I think I had ever seen at that time. She just absolutely gave me a complete meltdown. But she was married, and I was a shy 19-year-old, so there was nothing going on except the relationship of a supervisor and an employee. Mm-hmm. That went on for a solid year, and when I went to the Army myself in 43, I had so much on my plate at the time that I just forgot all my names of all the people I had worked with. And when I got back home, I had no way to contact her, no way to trace her. And after many, many years of trying to remember her name, I finally just resigned myself to the fact I probably never would. But after 60 years, of course, I got married, raised a family, and lived for 53 years as a married person. And my wife passed away about 5 years ago, and Coming back from my daughter's visit during Christmas, I just suddenly remembered her name. Just came to me just like a stroke of lightning. And all of a sudden, I remembered her name. And I thought, well, all I have is the satisfaction that I've remembered her name. But when I got home from that trip, first thing I saw was my newspaper of the current day laying on my table, and I opened the newspaper to look at the first article, and when I read the first article, I turned the page to continue the article back on the inside page, and the first thing I saw was a letter to the editor from Miss Vanita Anderson.
Wow!
This is a stroke of lightning twice in the same afternoon.
Wow.
Well, I could not find her in the phone book. And I said, well, her phone must be listed in a husband's name or somebody else's name. So I gave up trying to find her on the phone book on my own. I called the paper, the newspaper, Knoxville News Sentinel, and the editor put me in contact with Miss Anderson, and within 5 minutes, she called me.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking ever since.
So we
kept close company for 4 years, and finally we just decided, well, why don't we just get married and just make it a close affair. We've been living 30 miles apart now for 4 years, but we kept very close company. So, well, let's combine our families and move together, get married.
Now,
that is wonderful.
Of course, up here we believe in getting married before we move in together.
Right. Now, Mr. Dial, she was a widow, correct?
Yeah, she had been widowed 10 or 12 years before, mm-hmm. and I was widowed about a year before. And now I've been wedded for about 5 years, and she's been married wedded 16 years.
Okay.
Well, I mean, this is the stuff that movies are made of.
Wow.
I mean, the fact, you know, these guys are always laughing at me because I'm always talking about destiny, mm-hmm. and being in the right place at the right time. And the fact that name just hits you, and then you open up the paper, and there's her name.
Yeah.
I don't think those things are coincidence. Do you?
Well, I don't know how so many strange coincidences were strung together all at the same time. See, if any one of these had dropped out, we would never have seen each other.
Does she frequently write the newspaper, or was it like...
No, it just happened. She had had a medical emergency a couple of months before, and she wrote a letter to the editor publicly thanking the emergency medical service for being so prompt and so good about meeting her medical needs and getting aid for her. And she was just writing a letter to the editor saying thank you to all the people who helped. And there's the editor's letter to the editor on that page that happened to be the first page I opened up.
So the whole list of things is like she had to obviously get sick and call for care and receive good care, then get well, and then decide to publicly thank them, then send it to the newspaper.
And then write the letter, because most people would say, you know what, I'm going to write a letter, but they never do. Yeah.
So then
this letter, she wrote the letter a month or so after her recovery.
And then she had to mail it at the right time. Then the newspaper had to wait and write it and run it on that certain day. I mean, a newspaper gets, you know, dozens of letters every day commenting on the news or appreciation or whatever.
They save them and publish them as space in their paper permits.
Right.
It just happened to be published that day.
That's unbelievable.
Which happened to be New Year's Eve.
Aww.
Of 2002.
And it happened to be the day that you were driving home from your daughter's house when you had the lightning strike of her name.
That's right. I, you know, to this day, I thought many times about how in the world would that name have come to me after 60 years of lying there in my brain with no way to get out, and all of a sudden it pops out right mm-hmm. at that time.
You should have bought a lottery.
I still don't understand that.
Should have bought a lottery ticket that day.
Mr. Dial, I want to know what that first conversation was like when you called her.
Oh, well, the first thing we did, I guess the thing I tried to make sure that she was the same person that I had in mind.
Uh-huh. Right.
Of course, you know, the name Vanita Anderson is not a common name. You expect there can't be two people around here named Vanita. And it turned out there wasn't. When we established that we were who we said we were, we continued on. Well, we talked about our old times. Well, what have you been doing for the last 60 years? Huh. And do you have a family? And are they still around here? And so forth. And we settled all that. It took us 2 hours to kind of get reacquainted.
Uh-huh.
When
then, about a week or two later, I took her out to dinner. And the first thing I did when I opened the door, I'll just throw my hat in and see if it stays. We had a beautiful time that evening, going back over 60 years of lost connections, and we've been doing that ever since.
Mr. Dial, you said the first day that you laid eyes on her, you were just like so taken back by this beauty. When you saw her again for the first time 60 years later, did you have the same feelings?
Well, you know, we talked about it over the phone, and I said, we both agreed that now it's 60 years later, we're not going to look the same. and I kidded her a little bit about it. I said, well, now, you can see me coming up the driveway, and if you don't like what you see, you can run out the back door. But I can't. I'm gonna have, when I open that door and ring the bell, I'm stuck. But we know the minute I saw her, I knew it was the same lady. She was the same smiling, beautiful, outgoing person she ever was, and there was very little difference in the personality. Of course, we're 60 years older, but we don't worry about that.
That's so sweet. Now, Mr. Dial, you talked about how you decided, let's combine our families. How do each of your families feel about you two getting married?
Well, my daughter, I've got a daughter in Atlanta who's probably listening to you right now. They've always been supportive. They've never had any objection to me marrying somebody else at all. Mm-hmm. My other daughter is in Alabama, mm-hmm. but they've always been very supportive and very encouraging to be happy. Do what you have to do to be happy.
I'm curious how the proposal went.
Well, the proposal was kind of a growing thing. It didn't just happen suddenly. We talked about, you know, what would it be like if we just were married and lived together? How would we solve the problems we're doing? Because she is taking care of, she's a complete caregiver for an older sister, 92 years old and wow. blind. So that's a real chore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she needs some help to do that. And I said, I'm willing to offer you the help, whatever you need. And that was the kind of thing we decided that we had to discuss very clearly and very thoroughly to understand how we're going to do all that. And, of course, there are other problems to combining households after 60 years and after being 85 years old nearly. So we've solved all those problems, I think. We're going to have everything worked out.
It's an absolutely amazing story, wow. And you have touched everybody in this studio, even hard-ass Jeff, hard-butt Jeff over here.
You can't swear to
God.
No, you can't. Who is like an emotional brick I see over there, like melting into the seat, man.
There's nothing wrong with the story.
It's great.
Everything about the story
it's beautiful.
Is cool. There's nothing wrong. There's no holes to be shot in it.
Congratulations, Mr. Dial.
Well, thank you very much.
Before you go, I'd love to put you on with some of our listeners who you have touched so much. Hey, Jules?
Yes.
Good morning. You're on with Mr. Dial.
Good morning. I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your story. I'm a 28-year-old single person, and on Valentine's Day of all days, it's hard to believe that there is true romance like what you're talking about. So I just have to say that your story touched me very, very much, and I wish you all the best.
Well, thank you, and I hope you have a very beautiful relationship with your loved ones.
Well, thank you very much. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you very much.
You've got Jen Hobby in here and Melissa literally crying. Jen Hobby, what are you crying about?
I just think, I'm just thinking about how happy your wife must be looking down on you being happy. And how, you know, how I'm sure her husband is feeling the same way, looking down on the two of you to found each other later in life.
Well, I think our former spouses would be encouraging. I think they would want us to be happy.
It's an amazing story. It's a beautiful story. Are you thinking about your mom, Melissa? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I'm thinking about Mr. Dow. My father passed away a few years ago, and you just remind me so much of him, and the fact that my parents were married for 51 years, and I don't know. I just think it's a fantastic story, and I wish you all the best. And the fact that you were such a gentleman and you're going to help her take care of her sister, I do agree with Jen that, you know, I wonder if they make men like you today.
Well, I suppose they're out there. I'm nothing unusual. I'm just a sort of a regular old Southern guy.
Well, you're a special Southern guy, and I appreciate you sharing your story with us, especially today. I mean, we don't have many of these moments on this show, so we're all really not sure what to do with it.
Yeah. There's got to be an angle. There's something
Jeff,
twisted somewhere.
Don't spoil
Let's
it.
Let it go.
The Burt Show, Q100.
So that was from a couple of years ago, man. It's still good now.
Sweet.
It's funny, all the women in the studio here just focused on his story, headphones on, except Carter.
Whatever.
You were crying during it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? In all honesty, I left the room because his voice reminded me of my dad. So.
Oh, really?
There you go, hard-hearted.
Now I feel like an idiot. Thanks.
Aww. Way to go, Bert.
Hey, Lisa, good morning. You're on Q100. Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I just wanted to comment on Mr. Dial's story. I absolutely love a good love story, but his story reminded me of something that I had heard many years ago, and it's something that just stuck with me about coincidences. The saying is, coincidences are God's way of remaining anonymous.
Coincidences are God's way of staying anonymous.
Absolutely. There's no such thing as a coincidence. God is in control, and he was in control of that relationship, and I absolutely love it.
You know one thing I give country music credit for is because they take the best bumper stickers and make great songs out of them, especially Carrie Underwood. So I'm assuming that Carrie Underwood will have that.
Right.
Coincidences are God's way of staying anonymous.
For you single guys, use that sometime during Bitterball. Use that. You can use that to your advantage.
Coincidences is just God under the bed. And he's looking at us. Yeah. Do it later tonight.
Do it sober, because you're going to mess it up after 11 o'clock.
That's what a coincidence is. It's an old man and a woman that he met in the closet watching us have sex. That's what a coincidence is. I heard it on the Bird Show.
Hey, Corey, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to say, Mr. Dial, you gave all the ladies a good push that there are good men out there. I had the fortunate ability to remarry and my soulmate.
Aww.
And it's one heck of a great feeling to, I'm about to cry myself, to get that connection with someone, man. Congratulations. That's important for you at that age, man.
You're gonna be Mr. Dial in 25 years. You're going to call us back. We'll still be stuck with each other. And
absolutely.
You'll be calling us in 25 years, and you'll tell us your story.
That's right. Probably be pushed around in a wheelchair, but we'll be doing it.
All right, Corey. Thanks for calling.
Just for the record, I won't be here. Just wanted in case anybody's planning on that.
I thought you just signed a 25-year contract. I thought you said 10 is as high as I'll go, and they wanted you for 25.
I'd tie bricks around my ankles and jump off a boat.
It's the Bert Show.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here, Bird Show.
Hey, Dustin, good morning. You're on Q100.
What's going on, guys?
Hey. You tell us.
So, hey, Wendy, I got something I need to tell you.
Okay.
So, about 2 years ago, I'd say a little bit over 2 years ago, I was in your boat. I was single, spent about 4 Valentine's Day back-to-back by myself. You know,
I'm getting there.
I had dated around and whatnot, but finally, you know, I was like, all right, you know, I'm just going to stop looking. I'm going to not care anymore. And as soon as I did that, I met my wife, who I'm married to now. Came out of nowhere, met her through a friend, and then next thing you know, I never left her side, and we've been married for 2 years, and Valentine's Day is actually our second year anniversary.
Booyah.
Oh, that's really awesome. Sweet.
He's trying to make you feel better.
I know. There's still hope. I know. There's still hope out there.
So yeah, I just want to let you know, worries, you know, so... It'll come when it comes, and you just gotta stop looking for it. Otherwise, it'll never find you.
Is it possible, Wendy? And I know you're gonna say I'm reading this all wrong. Is it possible for you to celebrate being single more than it seems to me that you're bummed that you're not with somebody?
No, I mean I'm fine being single. I'm honestly too busy to date or do anything. Like I go home at night, and I'm tired.
I don't think you're fine with it.
I'm okay with it, actually.
Your first song was All By Myself.
Liar. Sorry. Who doesn't want to be in a relationship? You know what I mean? I mean,
Jeff just raised his hand.
Jessica, this is my husband.
Jessica just walked in the door.
Happy Valentine's Day, Jessica.
I think I'm reading lips pretty well.
I was just trying to raise my hand before she did. That's all.
No, relationships are always nice. No, but I'm happy to be single. But Valentine's Day just makes you feel like you need a relationship.
I want to give a shot of realism here, but I don't know that the timing of it is right because it is Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm gonna go for it anyway. As a guy that's been married now for 13 years and been with the same woman for 16 years,
mm-hmm.
if I had to do it all over again, I would enjoy my singlehood more than I did. I would embrace it way more than I did. Rather than be panicked that I wasn't hanging out with somebody on a Friday or I wasn't going to get some on Saturday, or panicked that I wasn't going to be in a relationship for the next couple of months, if I just would have relaxed about it and realized that sort of the forces were going to take over and I was going to find the woman that I was going to be with for the rest of my life eventually and really just sort of enjoyed all the crappy ones that I had to go through to get to, that's how I would relive it.
I totally agree with him.
I'm definitely not panicked when I go out. I'm definitely not looking for it when I go out. I have fun when I go out, but
I sort of always lived in a little of a single anxiety. Like, man, am I going to be able to? Am I ever going to find her? Mm-hmm. Or, man, I'd really like to be in a relationship on Valentine's Day. There was always this bubbling anxiety going on.
You said you wanted a cuddle buddy because it's going to snow today.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just want somebody to cuddle with tonight.
Yeah, sometimes you just don't want to go out. You know,
I thought you had like
yeah.
five cats.
I am the cat lady.
They're good cuddle buddies.
No,
I think the thing I'd like to say is it's going to happen. The forces take over, mm-hmm. and that person just ends up in front of you when you're ready for it. You know, it's weird.
I mean, maybe he already is, Johnny O. I don't know. Maybe he's already in front of you.
But I do think Valentine's Day is an assault on your eyes and your ears it just really, if you're single and not enjoying it, or you're single and you have anxiety about being single, Valentine's Day just makes it worse.
Oh my gosh.
I do think it's kind of an unfair holiday, especially if you're single.
If you look at the stats, marriage, Stacey and I have talked about this before, so I'm not saying anything that's going to shock her, and we both agree. Marriage is the hardest thing that you will ever have to do in your life. For us, it is the hardest thing. Raising kids, that is not the hardest thing for us. Being married is the hardest thing that you'll ever have to do. Compromising all the time and catering to somebody else's needs and trying not to be selfish. Marriage is hard, you know? That's why 50% of them don't work out. And within the other 50%, probably 25% of the couples I know are miserable being married.
And sometimes I think that 50%, a huge chunk of that 50% that doesn't make it, are people that rushed into something because they were panicked because they thought they needed to get married.
Totally, man.
I'm not looking to get married, trust me, anytime soon. I am too young. I am too busy to even think about
All by myself. I'm sorry. It's just stuck in my head.
That's when you're drinking a glass of wine by yourself.
Hey, Lauren, good morning. You're on Q100. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. Wendy, I'm 25 years old now, and I've never had a Valentine.
Whoa.
I was just dating this guy not too long ago, actually, and he ended things just last week. So 2 weeks before Valentine's Day, he ended things. My ex-boyfriend before that broke up with me a week before Valentine's Day, and the one before him actually broke up with me also 2 weeks before Valentine's
Day.
Dang. I have never had a Valentine's Day. Girl, embrace it. It's great. You find ways to overcome that. Last year I held a Valentine's Day brunch with me and all my friends. So it's great. I mean, you just find ways around it. And I'm actually becoming comfortable with the fact that I've never had a Valentine's Day. So relax. Enjoy it.
I think it's very sweet how the Burt Show community is rallying around you by telling you that their life is more pathetic than yours.
Right. You know, the one good thing about Valentine's Day, though, is the chocolate. Like, if you're single, I mean, you know what? Get as much chocolate as you... That's how you make yourself feel. That's what I did.
Just chocolate.
That's what I do now. Katie, I'm going to buy me some chocolate.
Hey, Talia, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I love you guys, and I listen every day. I just wanted to say that I agree with Bert about the timing, that, you know, you're going to find somebody that you're meant to be with. It's just... You know, all that stuff that he said, but my story's a little different. When I was single, I loved being single. I never had a, like, really serious relationship longer than 6 months, And I would just get tired of people and move on. And I thought, I'm never getting married. I'm never having kids. I'm going to live in Midtown and I'm going to do my thing. And
because nobody in Midtown has a
family. I met my husband and I just couldn't get enough of him. And now I'm pregnant with our fourth child.
There you go.
And we live about an hour outside of Atlanta. And it's just the greatest thing. So it's not what I expected at all.
See, Wendy, someday you'll have four kids and live way outside of Atlanta,
too. Perfect.
Yeah.
No, I'm not worried about finding marriage or anything like that. I'm really not.
Liar.
Trust me. I'm really not. If you can talk to my mom, my sister, that is the last thing on my mind.
Here's what I just want to tell single people and everybody that's going to Bitterball also, that is, it just sort of happens. Like, if you look at your friends that are married, like, look around this room here, how the couples in this room actually found each other shouldn't happen. Like, I was born in San Diego. My wife lived in Upper Pennsylvania. We live such different lives. Our paths should have never crossed, but they did.
You can't deny the sexiness of Upper Pennsylvania, though.
For sure. I got the one, actually. Yes. There's nobody left up there. I got it.
Especially near Pittsburgh.
Down here. I brought her down here. Jeff and Jessica come from such different places, but for whatever reason, they ended up at the same place together, and they're with each other. It just happens. Just happens.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
So don't worry about it. Look at Wendy's like screaming. I'm not worried. Yes, you are. No, I'm really not.
Hey, wait a minute. How come when Wendy finds a man, Bert's like, I'll fix it. I'll make it all better. And now she's like, I'm cool being single. No, you're not.
That's just when you're alone, because you're literally all by yourself because you're alone. Duh.
Yeah, Bert,
based on what Jeff just said, let me think. Yesterday, Wendy explained to us that she has anxiety attacks for no reason.
I don't know why.
Here's what I've learned.
I don't know why. Come on.
Wendy, I don't know what this means in the scope of the whole universe, but your joy and contentment makes Bert miserable.
You can say that about anybody on the show, including myself.
This is The Bert Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.